And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. The show is brought to you by Blinkist. Today's special guest is Harvard Business School professor Tom DeLong. Tom, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Hey, tell us about your journey and how you got the position of professor of management practice at the Harvard Business School.
I am a living testimony that a linear career is for somebody else, but it's not for me. And I think I've had people throughout my life who have made touch points and have pushed me along and inspired me, whether it was Stephen Covey when I was his research assistant, to the president of University of Utah, who was a mentor and inspired me and had confidence in me as a young professor. Whether it was John Mack, who I met on an airplane, who said, I want you to be the first social scientist in the history of Wall Street, and we need to transform this place, to Kim Clark, the dean of the business school. All of them took chances with me. All of them, I want to ask you some questions about who you are. And in essence, what they kept asking me is the question that I ask executives now. And that is what is the point of you? And every one of those mentors asked me, Tom, what is the point of you? What is your essence? And are you in a place that you can leverage that? And I think that has become my mantra. It's become my mantra every day when I ask myself, so what is the point of you today? And then I have reminders all day long when I get off track about what my essence is and what I'm about. So if anything, I hope that individuals take from this is that there are teachers and there are guides in our lives that are right in front of us.
I can totally relate to what you just said. Hey, tell us about the beautiful long shadow that Stephen Covey cast on your life.
Well, I was on my way to major in English and my undergraduate. And I was one of the requirements was to take a course in business. And I took this course called Intro to Organizational Behavior. And in the second class, I'm in this class with 300 people, and I find myself tearing up. And I realized that something was happening in me because of the spirit, the style, the attitude, the commitment that Covey was bringing as a teacher. And within days, I said, you know what? I've got to look into organizational behavior. I'm interested in the human side of the enterprise. I'm wondering if I could do what Stephen Covey does in terms of allowing people the space to feel differently about themselves. And that has been another one of my principles. Learn from him. How does he, in a classroom of 20 or in a group of 1,000, have people experience themselves differently? And I said, if I can do that, then I think I can have some impact on organizations and help people to be stronger and more committed to their voices, their collective and individual voices within organizations.
You are definitely in rarefied air. I know that Stephen Covey taught our leadership team at General Mills, and he did an extraordinary job of telling the right stories to bring out our own best versions.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, I think one of the themes that he brought out, and again, it's in the book as well, and that is that this old way of leading and teaching around command and control isn't working. And I felt from Covey and others throughout my life that there's something about commitment, and there's something about allowing people to say, I would do anything possible to follow Rick or to make Rick proud of me because of the experiences that we've had together. And also I've seen this person as an example. And so again, I have been blessed to have a number of people in my life, and it continues. It continues. One story, and it's a sad story in my mind, and it's a humbling story. I went to visit my mom. She was 88 years old, and she had a reasonably good fastball, and I'd go and visit her. And as I visited her, I was there for about an hour. And then at the end of the hour, she says, "You know, Tom, you've looked at your watch 15 times in the last hour." And she says, "The next time you come and visit, would you take your watch off?"
Oh.
She says, "Because I think I'm worried." She goes, "It makes me feel like you are kind of gliding through or enduring this conversation."
Mm.
I don't need you to stay much longer, but I think it would help you in your teaching and your leading to be aware of some of the things you're doing." Now, what a gift, and how embarrassing.
Yeah, your story makes me sad, but on the other hand, it makes me smile because your mom was so mindful.
Well, I'll tell you, I never took my watch again. Hmm. And I also realized, I said to myself, "All right, this might be a metaphor for other things." And then I kept asking myself, "All right, Tom, are you just using other people for your own achievement and for your own list?" And I said, wait a second. You've learned principles a long time ago that great teachers, great leaders are more interested in others than they are their own agendas, their own lifestyles, their retirement packages. And so one of the reasons I tell you the story about my mother is that what I worry about is that the more power and influence we have, and as our titles get longer and longer, I'm not sure we put people around us who are willing to speak truth to us. In fact, I think we hide behind those titles so that we don't, that we're not confronted with support, with whatever, about how we influence and how we impact other people. So I thank my mother, and I thank the people in my life who are willing to say, "Tom, this isn't just about you, regardless of your titles and your experiences." So I appreciate those people.
Hey, Tom, give us your definition of essence.
Yeah. Well, for years we've had seminars and we've talked about, so what is your purpose? And my purpose is to help other people live more meaningful lives. And your essence can be your purpose. But what I want to know, I want people, because of the experience they have with me, to be able to say, "Well, whatever Tom says he's about, this is how I experience him." And I remember being a visiting professor at Harvard Business School in 86 before I joined full time. And I remember an executive of IBM was there for a year, and he came up to me and he said, "You know, Tom," he says, "you're really a kind person." And I went home and I was furious. And I told my wife, "Can you believe that he thinks I'm weak and that he thinks that I'm meek?" And he never used those words, by the way. But he said, "He actually thinks I'm kind." I said, "How am I going to get ahead in this life if I'm not focused on winning and power?" And so now the older I become, I realize, you know, at 36 years of age, to be told that I was a kind person, I guess that is my essence. Kind meaning direct, meaning honest, meaning focused on others. It doesn't have much to do with being nice. So I think the essence is if other people were to describe you, what would they say who you are or what is the point of view? And I want people to be able to say, "Tom is one of the most kind people, never wasted our time, willing to help, willing to be direct, and I'm proud to call him a close friend, or et cetera, et cetera.
Man, that's beautiful. I don't want to get weepy about this, but Stephen Covey signed two saws for me to remind me to sharpen my own saw. How do you sharpen and keep your own saw sharp in line with your true essence?
Yeah. Well, one thing I do is that my wife and I have a gratitude breakfast once a month. And what I mean by that is we go to a little cafe. The reason I do this is because I saw an older couple in our neighborhood, and I asked them, "You walk by here every Sunday morning?" And this elderly woman said, "Well, we're going to have our gratitude breakfast." And then I said, "Well, what does that mean?" And she goes, "Well, we go and we tell the other person why we're grateful for that person, and then one thing they could do to help make our relationship even better." And I said, "You do that once a month?" And they chuckled. I ask executives all the time, when was the last time they had a gratitude breakfast? And I thought, if I'm asking executives that, then I better be having them. And I think that what it has done is changed the nature of the conversations that Vanita and I have once a month, instead of simply enduring life and only focusing on logistics. So that would be one thing. The other thing that we do is that we have family meetings, and now we're having family Zoom calls where the siblings come together on Zoom, and they're all over the country, and we talk about one way that we might support that person based on what they're going through. The third thing, and I don't know why this continues to be hard, but that is you can call it prayer or you can call it meditation. But it's being comfortable in a place of silence and having a conversation about how you are going to serve, how I'm going to serve. And I think I would like to do that twice a day, but I do it once a day, and I do it in the morning, because once my engines get revved up during the day, I'll have a tendency to put other things ahead of it. So that would be three things. And the other fourth I do is I get exercise every day. That's simply my way of getting my endorphins going.
Man, that's tremendous. I'll take my wife to a gratitude breakfast tomorrow. Thank you for that great suggestion.
Well, I don't know how fortunate we are to have people in our lives, more specifically spouses, partners in our lives, that are willing to put up with this. But all I know is that I think I would be reasonably difficult to live with. And I, regardless of what I attempt to do to stay grounded, achievement-driven individuals, and by the way, Rick, here's some feedback for you. You're one of them. We are so driven, and we seduce ourselves into defining success based on how much we've accomplished every day.
Mm.
And so that's why I know that you have a worthy partner that puts up with you.
You really do know me well. Hey, Tom, let's take a few minutes to talk about your book, Teaching by Heart. For starters, I wish that my own parents were still alive to read it, because they truly needed words of affirmation. So I'll just ask you one question. What makes you cry as a teacher?
I asked students to write a letter of gratitude. And I asked a group of executives to write a letter of gratitude to someone that meant a great deal to them. Through the session, a woman came down to me. She was in her mid-40s, I suspect, and she handed me a letter. And I opened it up, and it said, "Professor DeLong, my dad passed away a year ago, and I couldn't write this letter to him. So I want you to be a proxy for my father, and I want you to read what I said to him." And she basically says, "Dad, you accepted me no matter what I did, and I knew that you would love me unconditionally. And I never told you that. And now I want you to know how much I love you. And then the P.S., not my tears, the P.S. was, Dad, this writing this letter is supposed to make me feel better. But it's made me miss. But it's made me miss you even more.
So it was great to have on our show today Tom DeLonge. We really appreciated him being on our program. And if you'd like to hear all of our great shows, please go to successmadetolast.com. And please go to our contact page and tell us about your positive experience. We love to hear feedback on all of our shows. And if you need a great start to your week with a little wit and wisdom, subscribe to our newsletter. As we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week.